You're listening to the Incomparables Total Party Kill podcast, in which a group of friends play Dungeons & Dragons on the internet for your amusement. This is episode number 454, recorded July 2023, posted June 2024. Fern Gully Bat.
Welcome back to Total Party Kill. It's me, Tony Sindelar, a dungeon master, and today we are playing Curse of Strahd. Our players are deep in the basements of Ravenloft looking for the cursed one himself, Strahd von Zarovich. But I get ahead of myself. Allow me to introduce our players. They will introduce their characters, and then we will get into it. First up, Dan Morin.
Hello, it is I. I play Castan Onatar's Crucible of Warforged, cleric of the god Onatar, who's the god of the forge. Crucible uses they, them pronouns. I use he, him pronouns. And I am sporting this lovely cap, which our video watchers can see.
Next up, it's Aline Sims.
Hello, I'm playing Imra Soliana, the wood elf ranger, and her trusty pup, Androdite. We all use she, her pronouns.
Also joining us, Micah Sargent.
Ahoy! I play Elevor Landman, the half-elf druid, as well as Samus, the saber-toothed tiger. And I also play Danu, the fey mimic octopus. Samus uses she, her pronouns. Elevor and who? Wait, just me. That's me. Ha, he, him.
I thought like, I had seven more animal companions.
I know there are two who use he, him pronouns, but I know that Danu doesn't really care about pronouns. You can use whichever or any or none if you want.
All right. Also joining us, Erica Ensign.
Hello, hello. I play Brildish, the Dwarven Paladin. Her pronouns, like mine, are she, her. Brildish also has a celestial pony named Pony Sindelard, whose pronouns are he, him. Yeah, I'm also wearing a hat. It's not technically my birthday anymore, but we're still celebrating.
It's your birthday observed.
Yeah.
Yes.
Also joining us, it's Jane Ritt.
Hello. I play Lena Dulina, the human rogue. We both use she, her pronouns. And I am wearing a yacht captain's hat.
Oh, you fancy.
Oh, yeah. I'm coming from Flavortown.
It's a yacht captain's hat. Way to one up the other captain's hats.
She's a real beauty, Tony.
Okay.
Watch out for orcas.
All right. So our adventurers, you have traveled up to the spires of Ravenloft and now down to the deep catacombs below the larders of ill omen. An actual thing that we did live before, people. You have reached the catacombs of Ravenloft. Buried deep beneath the castle walls lie these ancient catacombs where arch ceilings supported by wide hollow columns that doubles as crypts. Cobwebs hang limp in the musty air. A thick fog clings to the floor, which is covered in putrid waste. And the black ceiling is moving above your heads as the catacombs are home to thousands of vampire bats.
What did I say?
This
about
is
bats?
A place
it's lovely.
You, this is a place you have chosen to come of your own accord because you hope to find, Strahd von Zarovich here somewhere. The catacombs kind of sprawl out ahead of you. So you have entered via the tower hallway on kind of the west side of the catacombs. The catacombs go to the east and to the north and south. And basically on the map, you're going to see lots of little squares. Those are the columns that support the ceilings of the catacomb. But each column is in itself a crypt, many of them have things written on the outside and kind of a slab like a door that is visible to you from where you are. So let me just make sure that I've trimmed enough of the map to make it so that you can see some of the doors.
Elevor whispers to the group, "Listen, if you find yourself within 30 feet of the enemy and you hear me shout bubbles, I need you to avert your eyes. Trust me."
Trust me.
Brilish nods very seriously.
Kind of
at
side eye.
Noted.
There are those who say you are never more than 30 feet from an enemy.
Certainly in this castle.
They're like spiders that way.
Lena draws her
like giant spiders.
Or a potential enemy.
The enemy is yourself. So, yeah.
A question, Tony. Using my archaeologist background, can I discern any sort of... stop laughing. Can I discern any sort of system to the layout of the catacombs? Is there any rhyme or reason to how things are arranged?
Yeah, so you're going to have to move into the catacombs to do that.
Well, son of a gun.
Sorry.
You know, Lena's going to, I think, listen. We'll use
see
that
if you can
sense
hear
first.
From listening
listen.
To like...
You, listening.
Listen for the structure of the
that's
catacombs.
28. 28 listen check for
28
her to listen.
There's just like this weird kind of soft kind of crunchy noise of the bats shifting around on the ceiling.
I wish I hadn't
kinda
heard that.
Rustly. Right.
As Brildish, I say to everyone, I have this magic oil that I really want to add to my... to apply to my sacred axe. To make it, you know, in the best possible shape for Hela to help me out here. But I'm going to need a whole minute to do that, and I don't want to spend a bunch of battle time to make that happen. So what do you all think? Do you think that we're close enough? It lasts for a whole hour after it's been applied.
I think
this is perhaps
the best opportunity we might have for you to do that uninterrupted.
Okay.
It's a good idea.
All right. If you would all just for a minute, just bring Hela into your heart as much as possible. I know some of you worship other deities, but Brildish kneels down and applies it very carefully and prays. Like, this poor axe is so pitted. It's like the oil keeps getting caught in like the pits and the rust and stuff. And it's like, there's no rust. She keeps the rust off.
Crucible will put like their hand on Brildish's shoulder as she does this, and
that means a lot. She appreciates it.
Yeah, and Lena is like clearly engaged and like thinking about. She's trying to keep in mind a montage of all of the guys that Brildish has absolutely obliterated through the course of the adventure together.
That is great. Yeah, so that actually brings the axe up to it's supposed to be +3. It's a +2. because that
things happen.
Black pudding. Yep.
Yeah.
So, but still, that's pretty good.
It's pretty good.
It's just as good as this other axe that's just on our back.
Even better. We all agree.
It is better because I can swing it with one hand instead of having to use two.
And
this shield
is
also
your
very
axe, Brildish.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah.
This axe is. Oh, I get it.
All right. You're still standing in the stairs, looking at the catacombs.
Shall we move forward quietly?
Yes.
Do we need some light?
I'm afraid that's going to
wake the bats.
Cause bats to.
I just assumed that you had some light source, otherwise you wouldn't have been able to see anything that I described to you.
What are those sun sticks again? Boom sticks.
Different things. Sunrise, which I don't think technically even exists in 5e.
Lena unsheaths her sword that casts light.
Yeah, I can cantrip some light too. So.
A nice lovely glow that doesn't get the bats all riled
up. It definitely, the bats are aware of you, but you know, I think the key would be, I think you are limited in terms of your ability to cast spells that have a large area of effects in here without incurring the annoyance of the bats. Looking at you, Thunderwave.
Did you say cast Thunderwave?
If you want to find infinite bats.
No, we didn't say that.
Quick reminder that Brildish also made a whole bunch of stakes out of the pews from the chapel and has handed them out. So everybody has probably like
you
at
get
least
some steaks
five.
These are undercooked.
I thought Brildish had made everyone stakes, like grilled. Yeah. And I was like, wow, Brildish is so great.
That's going to be the victory barbecue.
Yeah. Tony, these should be close to your heart. They're Omaha steaks.
Oh, they come in a bundle of three, so I'm going to add a bundle. add two bundles of three. I've got six steaks.
Oh, in my head, Elevore is wearing them in a bandolier too, right? Like across.
I mean, Brildish
chest. That's pretty cool. All right.
Almost entered the catacombs.
Crucible will take a step forward into the catacombs peering around and investigating and trying to figure out which way they might need to go.
Sure. I don't see Samus if Samus could join the party.
Could be under someone. Check under Aragorn.
There. Oh, that's there they are.
Yep. Oh, someone Aragorn, got a pony
stop
too.
Riding Samus.
Aragorn, I told you about riding Samus. Do you remember what I said?
So Crucible,
you
looking
said
around
it's
there.
Awesome.
No, I said don't ride Samus.
There are stairs, or sorry, there are kind of the twisty passageways around the catacombs going in every direction. I think, based on your architectural knowledge, it is unlikely that Strahd would be in one of these kind of mundane crypts that is built into the architecture of the the catacombs. Likely, you know, he would be somewhere probably more ornate.
We're looking for something more grandiose.
Yeah. Looking around, you know, there are two crypts kind of near you, one, you know, to the northeast, one to the southeast. They do both have names, kind of, and they have things inscribed over the kind of door to the crypt. It does not seem like there's any rhyme or reason in terms of when or where people are interred. So there's not a, you know, graveyards, frustratingly, are not alphabetical. So, you know,
They tend to be somewhat chronological, I feel like.
Yeah, chronological, yes, but people don't die in alphabetical order, usually.
That's true.
Not yet.
Can we do some perception checks?
Strahd's only partially dead, so.
Brildish turns to Lena and says, Lena, your little shadow friend, do you think that they might have any, I'm talking about the dragon, do you think
not
they
Oracle.
Might have any connection to Strahd that they might be able to... Brildish doesn't say feel vibes, but that's what I'm saying. Like, determine which direction the crypt of Strahd's brother might be.
If we had something that belonged to Strahd, could the dragon sniff it?
Oh, so
the
cute.
Whole castle belongs to him.
So... Lena lifts up, she usually wears like a burgundy cape over one shoulder. She sort of lifts up the corner of it, and it seems like the dragon mostly just hides in the negative space back there. It sort of pops up, and how would she try and communicate to it to know where Strahd is? She rolls a performance check to mime to her dragon that she's looking for Strahd.
Yeah.
That's an 11. She's still kind of new to like expressive art, you know?
The little kind of smoke flame dragon kind of looks around and seems uncertain.
It's worth a shot.
Can I roll
then
straight up?
So she lifts the cape back up and it scuttles back in.
Sure.
Thanks anyway, Brildish says.
I've rolled a underwhelming 12 on perception to see if I can suss out anything.
Well. Mm-hmm. And Samus will help me.
I'm going to roll religion. Because 24!
20 on the die.
Wow.
It's better than my 13 religion.
So Elevor is quickly going around and looking at all of the different doors that are within, you know, a certain distance to see if he finds anything that's worth.
So Elevor, as you move forward, you notice just slightly north of you, there is a crypt. And the door to this crypt is open. So before you even get that far, this
okay.
Do you all see a white rectangle?
Oh, that one.
That door is open. But I would be happy to read you a variety of names from other crypts if that would make you happy.
What would make me happy is the most important information. And I have a feeling it is not knowing the names on the other doors.
Oh, well.
Am I wrong?
I don't know.
Well,
look, I rolled a nat 20, so Tony, take that and just do the right thing.
Does he see Piddlewick?
Let me just check. I don't think you see Piddlewick anywhere around here. You seem to be it looks like several of the crypts in this immediate area have different names, but they seem to have similar titles. It seems like these might have been people who were married to Strahd von Zarovich.
Ew.
A lot of wives and so, yeah.
Mortal spouses.
Just north of you, in fact, Elevor, where your token is right now, the crypt that is open over the kind of the plinth, it is engraved lettering. You get close. It's hard to see until you get close. And it says, Irina Kolyada, wife.
Where did it say we would end up meeting Strahd again?
With his brother.
With his brother.
Irina's crypt is empty because we saved her.
The crypt south of you says Petrina Velikovna, bride.
I think he has a type.
Yeah, it's a very specific Barovians? Type. Yeah,
that was the one.
Ew.
Or reincarnated.
Yeah.
Okay.
So we move Tatiana's. Forward a little bit and check the ones.
Yeah, because this right now, this is feeling like we want you to walk in here and get hurt.
Well,
in a dungeon?
Like if wife is straightforward, is like brother like sideways?
Or is it like, straight across? The there's section? There's a staircase. Maybe it goes to
you do
fancy
notice
place.
Also with your 24, I revealed a little bit more of the map. It looks like there is some kind of more elaborate set of stairs heading down. That's right. You're in the catacombs. There's still places to go down from here, everybody.
Let's go. Let's go, Brildish.
You gotta go down to go up.
That's not accurate when you're in Ravenloft, but
you got to go down to go down.
That is accurate. Do you want me to read any more names, or do you just want to run for those stairs?
No, let's hear some other names.
All right. The next one, just north of you, Elevor, there. This says, Artemis, builder of the keep, thou standest amidst the monuments to his life.
Cool.
Different.
Tilt this you, wacky place.
Yeah, south of you is... Sir Eric Vonderbucks.
The money maker.
They called him
Big
Vonderbucks.
I want to meet Sir Eric Vonderbucks, I got to tell you.
Does he have an appellation underneath?
He does not. Do you want to
darn it.
Do you want to open up his crypt? Is that what you want?
No.
Take him up and meet the man?
No.
I just need to know how that last name is spelled. It's very important to me.
It is spelled almost exactly, I think, the way you would guess. It is Sir Eric with a K, because it's Dungeons and Dragons, Vonder, V-O-N-D-E-R, Bucks, B-U-C-K-S.
I love it.
Yeah.
That's a great name.
It's like Wunderbar.
I'm reading what's written about what's inside that crypt, and I'm smiling too. So we're all having a great time here on Total Party Kill.
Don't trust him.
Brildish is sort of hanging back and making sure that Argal and Vasilka are not like at the back. I don't want to get, you know.
All right. Do you want to head in the direction of those stairs? Is that what you're interested in exploring?
Yeah. But I think that our passive perception is also looking out for Piddlewicks.
All right. Piddlewicks. Mm-hmm.
But not enough to, like, veer from our sacred quest.
I mean, exactly. As you pass, you basically have to kind of pass through this kind of hallway formed by these six crypts, three to your north, three to your south. You can see, like, beyond them that there are, you know, I don't know, there must be dozens of crypts down here to the north and south.
Okay.
They really padded out the number of rooms in Ravenloft with the crypt people.
Oh, after we kill Strahd, we're checking everyone.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You think this adventure exists after we kill Strahd? I'm done.
Yes, I do.
Look at my contract.
Wrong.
That's fine. I will buy it and download the PDF and run us through.
Wow. Grim triggering me, Erica. All right. Lena has moved forward as the rest of you have slowly moved forward, almost caught up to where you've described yourselves as being. The next two, these are the last two before it looks like there's a kind of a strange wall and a set of stairs descending to somewhere below the crypt. But looking north, Elevor, you just passed by the crypt. It says Sasha Ivliskova, wife. And south of you, these are conveniently located on different pages, so I get to flip back and forth. It is...
Does it move? Does it do a cool animation when you flip back and forth between the pages?
Elevor, as you... is the physical book I have animated?
you know, like a flip flippy book. Things. If you go flip, 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 flip.
It's a physical book that I haven't realized.
And it goes like this. I'm sorry, it was a dumb joke.
All
okay,
right.
What's to the south?
Well, just because of that, as you pass by the door to the south, You notice the name above it. This crypt is labeled Elevor Landman.
What?
Wait. I have seen this before.
Oh no, it's going to be the Revenant.
Elevor walks closer and sniffs it, which is the equivalent of doing an Arcana check for him.
Yeah.
To smell out the magic. Crucible, would you mind helping me with this?
Certainly.
Guidance.
And I roll a 21.
All right. It smells, you can, and this seems unusual for, I don't know, a catacomb given their function, but you are overwhelmed by the smell of putrid decay as you smell at the door to a crypt that bears your own name.
So I don't sense any magic?
No, it's just a crypt.
How could they put my name on there?
Because he knows that we're here, and he probably did it to get inside of our heads.
He's been spending
terrible man.
Every evening, carefully
chiseling all of our names. But I only tell the listeners
Elevor's
last name. I don't know why they told Strahd.
Does Strahd know Strahd Elevor's last name? I don't know.
The crypt has your name.
I don't like it.
You could open the crypt. Each crypt has a large stone slab that basically functions as a door. It turns out there's a reason that doors are doors with hinges and whatnot. It would require some strength to open, to push aside the giant stone slab that is the door. Seems like these crypts are not designed for a lot of like foot traffic coming and going.
Do we see any of the rest of our names?
Would you like to look? So far, Elevor is way ahead of everybody there.
Does anybody else see Elevor's name, or is that something just Elevor is seeing?
That's a good question.
I feel like Lena, you draw closer and you see Elevor standing in front of a crypt with the name Elevor Landman carved into the wall above the crypt.
She puts her hand on Elevor's shoulder and says, "I know not what matter of trick this is, but it is a trick. And we should move on."
I agree. It feels like the good place, this is obviously Aline, the good place where Tahani has to walk through a hallway without checking in, where she knows people are talking about her behind the doors. This is what that feels like. Like, we just need to keep our eyes straight ahead and go do the
Elevor,
thing that we need to do.
Yep. Deep in, maybe in your heart, maybe it's in one of those not so good organs, something is compelling you to open the door to this crypt. Give me a quick wisdom saving throw.
I will do that with advantage.
With
thank
advantage.
You.
You're welcome.
I'm very glad that Lena's hand is already on Elevor's shoulder.
Oh,
so
yeah.
Once he starts moving, she can just re-oink.
Yep.
That's a 27 wisdom saving throw.
All right. You know, there's a little voice that's inside your head, but you know, you are of free mind to do what you wish.
Actually, Elevor says, something's off here. This crypt is trying to get me to open the door. We should move along.
Agreed. Inside, there's a bed just waiting to be flipped.
Elevor looks closer.
Drag him away.
Looks closer at the
crypt does not say anything about beds. Just so we're clear.
The panel, and it says, he died doing what he loved, flipping beds.
He flipped one bed too many.
One bed too many.
What is a coffin, but not an eternal bed? Okay, let's move on.
Can we listen at the top of the stairs?
Dan, keep it light. all right.
Light here?
You know. You head to the top of the stairs. It looks like it is not a very long set of stairs. It is what you would call a short set of stairs with kind of a landing with big old statues on the landing. Hold on. Let me read to you about the statues before you nope and leave this place.
What we could. Came as far as we could. There were statues. We left. We went home.
Wide steps descend to a landing flanked by two alcoves. Within each alcove, taking up the full 30-foot height of the ceiling, is a bronze statue. These are 30-foot-tall statues. You love it. They're
so
bronze
tall.
Statues of a warrior holding a spear. A soft blue curtain of light flows between the two alcoves. Dimly visible on the other side of the curtain are more descending stairs.
This keeps going down, huh?
Yeah, but what's this curtain?
Arcana check.
Yeah, magic experts. Maybe Crucible could help you with this one too.
Would you mind, Crucible?
Certainly not.
Oh wow, 20, natural 20.
Yeah.
Okay. Crucible helps good.
Hellebore does a big ol'.
Have you considered that that's magic?
Of the blue. Well, okay, from a distance, does a whiff of the blue curtain of whatever.
All right.
Find out.
Yeah, there is indeed magic here. There's kind of a curtain of energy between these two statues. It is powerful warding magic, Hellebore, that has been placed upon this rather ornate area here. And you, I think it would be safe to assume that probably people of importance or wealth or power are interred below. But in particular, this energy curtain, that's suspended between these two statues, is done such that creatures of alignment that are not good would not be able to pass beyond it.
Oh. Yeah. Really?
Only good can pass?
Okay, so Hellebore...
In fact, lawful good, ideally.
Wow. So Hellebore lets that be known that the only way anyone can go through this area is if they are lawful good. And he says, last time I checked my notes, that's definitely not Strahd.
It's complicated.
I could go in and like take a peek and see if there's an off switch.
No one ever got murdered taking a peek.
If we're gonna send two people, I think sending Broldish and Crucible is.
I'm chaotic.
Although
good,
I'm lawful good. Crucible's just neutral. No. Are you neutral? Oh, no. You're lawful.
That was the alignment shift.
Or they had a change of heart.
I had a change of heart.
I knew you shifted to good. I thought you stayed neutral.
No, because I was lawful neutral before.
Mm. Yay, friends.
Yeah, please.
All right.
Give us a shout if anything happens and we will try to after you.
Oh, God, we're getting murdered.
All right, I am leaving Pony behind.
Mm-hmm.
Because...
What's Pony's alignment?
Well, I mean, Pony's celestial.
Chaotic awesome!
Are celestials generally lawful or... I know they're good, I think, but I don't actually know.
Yeah,
I don't know a lot about...
Yeah.
Chaotic awesome. I love that.
I do not know.
Celestials are all super lawful, apparently.
Okay. Are they always good? Because some of them are jerks.
Celestials generally are lawful good. Devils are generally lawful evil.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Then I will write
chaotic.
Lawful good and jerks. That Venn diagram.
Yeah.
There's a lot of overlap.
Yeah.
But not Brilish.
Makes you think.
Maybe Pony.
Yeah.
So yeah.
All right.
All right. Is there an off switch on these
Crucible, and there's not an off switch on the statues.
Brilish is looking.
Not how statues work. Certainly not magic ones. I'll point out that this is magic, not mechanical. This is not like the working of Gond or such. But Crucible has passed through the curtain of light. Brilish, are you passing through the curtain of light?
I've paused in the middle to can I still see you through both sides?
Yeah, it's, I think it's like 50% translucent, basically.
I kind of want to just sort of stay here because I don't want to lose sight. I don't want to go through and suddenly it's opaque behind me and our friends have no tanks left. So,
I mean, you can see Crucible, so.
I want to make sure that I can still see both.
Can I
see back?
Yeah, it's a little bit like looking through like tinted glass, basically, so don't.
Yeah,
you wouldn't
Crucible,
be able to
try
read
going
it,
back
can,
and forth.
You can see the silhouette of Brilish.
I'm on one side. I'm on the other side.
All right,
I'm on the east bank.
Yes.
I'm on the west bank.
All right.
Yes.
Cool.
Yes. In my
we have to
horror.
Test this.
No, it's those are good questions. That's a good.
So yes, you can. It's as if it's not even there for you. You just move back and forth through it.
I don't have dispel magic, so I think there's anything I can. I mean,
what?
Brilish,
I mean, do we
says,
want to investigate
Crucible,
the other side before we
yeah,
start
check it out
burning
first, just to
spell
see.
Slots?
That's true. That's a good idea.
All right. Beyond having now felt certain that you'll be able to move back and forth through the curtain of energy and magic, you look beyond and there is a short set of wide stairs descending into a somewhat ornate tomb with two coffins, one on the north and one on the south. This room is incredibly quiet. The walls here, the ceiling here, not covered in bats. And the architecture of this space, in fact, a little strange. On the far wall, far across from you, there are tall stained glass windows dominating the eastern wall. And through them, there's actually some like dim light that falls through. And you see these two coffins set atop marble slabs. And it looks like there's writing, presumably names, on the sides of the marble slabs.
This is nice.
The vaulted ceiling overhead is 30 feet high and inlaid with a beautiful gold mosaic.
I whisper to Crucible, I'm still concerned that this magical curtain is going to do something.
Let us investigate a little further to determine whether this is a place we want to go.
Mm. Right.
And then we can dispatch with the curtain if we can. Mm. I would like to get not all the way up to the coffins, but close enough, Tony, that I can read the text on them.
Sure. You headed for the north coffin or the south coffin?
Let's start with the north one.
All right. The north coffin, it is... has a name marked with the name King Barov von Tsarevich.
Barov Tsarevich. Okay.
And there's a big ol', a coffin just on top of the slab.
I'm going to roll a history check based on the stuff I've picked up from my time in Barovia. That's an 18. Mm-hmm. Do I recognize this? I mean, obviously recognize von Tsarevich, but do I recognize that particular name?
Yes. You would know that King Barov is Strahd von Tsarevich's father.
Hmm. Not brother.
That's what I thought.
Nope. His brother is Sergei von Tsarevich. And so his father, Barov, was also kind of a warlord and, important, powerful military leader. Though that was long, long ago. And basically, I think you even remember from reading through Strahd's journal and other things you've learned about his history, Strahd basically conquered this land, the land that would be called Barovia, and he named it after his father. Right. And the castle is named after his mother.
Hmm. I will then slide down and take a look at the name on the southern coffin.
Perhaps not too surprisingly, the name on the southern coffin is Queen Ravonia. Her last name is Van Royen.
Okay. Crucible will step down the steps back towards where Bruldish is and says, I believe we have located the tomb of Strahd's parents. I'm not sure if there is any utility to be gained from it, but it does perhaps explain why it has been partitioned off from the rest of the catacombs. Perhaps Strahd himself cannot even visit this place.
Mm. That is an interesting... I like that supposition. All right,
it also means, importantly, that this could be potentially a refuge for at least some of us, if need be. So perhaps leaving the curtain in place for the moment might be to our benefit.
Yeah,
just gonna ask. Were you interested at all, maybe even just architecturally, Crucible, in the fact that there were stained glass windows on the eastern wall?
We haven't left yet. Bruldish was just about to ask that.
Yeah,
just gonna say, Crucible, when you were down there a little bit closer, could you see anything out any of the clearer bits of the windows, or alternatively, knowing your penchant for architecture, is this part of the crypts of the castle, like perhaps in the side of the cliff facing toward
underground
Barovia,
windows,
so this would actually
all the rage. Yeah, no, I rolled an 18 on perception, Tony. What did I notice about the windows while I was in the crypt?
They're very dirty. Seems like perhaps with whatever spell keeps people who are less than lawful good has also kept the housekeeping away from here. So they're very grimy, and they are, they look like they were probably beautiful when they were well upkept. But between the stained glass nature of them and the grime on them, it's going to be hard to see out.
Can I derive from, as Bruldish suggested, my knowledge of how I know the castle is laid out very confusingly, but is this possible? Are we looking out over a cliff or something like that? Is that based on the exterior of the castle? Okay.
And, I mean, the Castle Ravenloft does sit atop, you know, a big cliff. Yes.
I look at Broldur and say, if we were curious further, we could potentially spend time cleaning parts of the windows. Mm-hmm. I am not sure to what ends, but if there you feel there's a benefit that might be gained from that, I'm certainly willing to engage in it.
I think your idea about Strahd's parents being partitioned off from him even makes me not even want to investigate anymore. I was at first worried that maybe somehow Strahd is on the other side of those windows, perhaps, but that maybe isn't the case. So let's keep going, because this oil of sharpness is running out.
All right, and so you return through the curtain that separates this realm from the rest of the catacombs, no worse for wear.
I am afraid our count is in a different crypt.
I think Elevor would be interested in basically like he was playing some RPG, wanting to map out the area that is available. But
so follow
doing
the walls.
Doing so in such a way that doesn't disturb anything. And so
you don't want to open every door?
No, I think Elevor wants to turn into a bat and fly around and down like each little passageway try to map things out.
Well, I would say
tell all the other bats he's just a bat.
Do you want to do that, or are you doing that?
Oh, sorry. I wanted to say that out loud, and then if someone was going to be like, no, for whatever reason, then I would say no.
I think that is potentially a risky idea. I'm not saying you shouldn't
do it, but
I, you know, definitely be aware there are a lot of other bats, and they may not take kindly to interlopers.
Oh, but with my scatological proficiency, I can blend in. So Elevor reaches into a pouch and pulls out some, you know what, sort of throws it up into the air, and then he says, it doesn't hurt, as he grows these wings and shrinks down to the size of an adorable little bat and takes off.
Oh, an adorable bat, not just a normal bat.
Oh, yeah.
Well, I think all bats are adorable.
The bats are there. Yeah, they are. Yeah.
With a little furry tummy and sparkles in his eyes. Yeah.
Yes. The top a little big. Oh,
just so we're clear, all the other bats are mean bats with red eyes and fangs. Yeah. And
but this is a Disney Pixar bat.
And tattoos. Bad tattoos.
Bad tattoos. Oh,
prison
no.
bat tattoos.
Yeah. So is this Batavore?
A tear below. Yeah, I guess it's Batavore, huh?
Yeah.
With a little tear below one of their eyes.
Yeah.
So Batavore takes off.
I've been to bat jail. I've seen things. Yeah.
To the north.
All right.
And starts mapping the ways.
Oh, using echolocation, no doubt. So first off, Elevor, I'm going to give you inspiration, because this is the, I'm not going to say best idea, least worst idea I've heard from a player in a long time.
Oh, great. Okay, thanks.
So
you're going
to head north.
We're the least worst. We're the least worst.
Well, is perhaps stretching it.
Yeah, Micah.
We're the least worst.
And I'm going to reveal more of the map, as you can see that there are many many crypts in this catacomb. And I don't know. I'm just revealing a bunch of stuff. If you want to move your token around, I assume you want
to. He's definitely flying to the north first, because that just makes the most sense in his mind.
I will tell you, you'll notice the layout is, I mean, I guess it's just this grid of crypts, but it is a little bit strange that the doors on the crypts they're not consistent about what side of the column they are on. So let me just can you actually go back to where you were and just I'll read stuff as you go.
Like here? Did you want me to go further down?
Go further back.
Okay. So I was here, you see, and I guess I would have flown up here.
There's text wherever there's a white rectangle, basically. So you tell me which ones you want to go and check out.
Actually, here's what I was thinking, because Elevor is a bat, bats not well known for their ability to read per se, but certainly tell the difference between things. So his glance around is less about looking for names and more about looking for a door or a sort of feature that looks different from the others, in the same way that it was like staircases that led down to the boss, the mom and dad. Maybe there are some other areas that stand out.
Here, here.
So, Elevor, you flap all the way around to the north. There's lots of catacombs, lots of crypts with all kinds of strange suggestions about what might be in them. You do see there's a little strange here. There's two doors off to the east side that are kind of like set into the wall there. A little unsure where those would head. Okay. You see what looks like a door leading away from the catacombs over on the west side. In fact, two of those. But then I think probably what you would your eye would be most drawn toward on the very north side of the catacombs, past all of the crypts, there is not as ornate as the parents' crypts that you saw back south, but certainly more ornate than other parts of the catacombs. There is a portcullis and then a set of stairs descending.
Okay. Elevor is taking all this information in, and now he's going to go to the south and do the same.
All right.
Beep, beep, beep.
And this is where I just draw more and more...
more and more rectangles, right?
More and more rectangles. So, lots of crypts.
This is such a good idea.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Remember when I gave him inspiration for it?
Yeah. You know, I was watching some D&D the other day, and I just keep waiting for this dungeon master to grant someone inspiration for something. And I'm like, man, this guy's a hard, you know what? Because he was not giving inspiration for anything. So,
he's hard
Tony,
to inspire.
You give inspiration more than, apparently, yes, exactly, Jane. you give inspiration more than this DM was, so I appreciate that.
I'm better than some unnamed person.
I don't want to say names because I don't want to make anyone
feel
bad.
I know,
start a flame war.
All right, you flap and map out the southern side.
Flap and map, baby.
Flap and map southern side of the catacomb. Somewhat similar to the north side, there's again on the far southern wall a portcullis and a set of stairs descending down. I will also, there's a variety of crypts that are the columns that hold up the catacombs. There are also, it looks like, some small there were, you know, at least the doors to them are not super big doors off on around the edge of the catacomb. I will also tell you one, because you specifically asked, this is your fault. That's a way that you can talk to people.
it's an honest way, I guess.
Yeah. One of the crypts does appear very different than all the other ones. I would say all the other ones, aside from the text on them, are more or less identical from the outside. This one in the southeast corner is different.
Okay, this one?
Yep, that one.
Okay.
And how is this crypt different from all the others?
Yes, as I ask, how is this crypt different from all of the others?
This crypt, the door is much larger than the other ones. 6 feet wide, 8 feet tall. It's basically like it is double the dimensions of the other ones.
Maybe it's for the previous Wonder Horse.
Oh, or what about meat? No, because he's still alive.
Do you want to read the inscription?
Yeah, Elevor will a little bit closer to actually. So he latches on with his cute little paws and kind of puts his eyes up super close and tries to scan the text.
All right, the door's on this side of the crypt. And on the other side of the horse of the door, it says, Bucephalus, the Wonder Horse.
Ba-bam.
Colon, may the flowers grow ever brighter where he trods.
Aww. It's probably the original.
Didn't happen.
How bad could the guy be if he loves horses?
I guess just
quite
because
bad.
Just because you described touching the crypt to read the things, clinging with your adorable little bat claws. The door to the crypt is warm to the bat touch.
Oh, cool. Not cool. No. Warm.
No, the opposite.
Batavor's going to do.
Doesn't Bucephalus have fire hooves?
Yeah.
Yes. Uh-huh. Maybe this is just like his stall.
Oh, this is his house.
His house instead of his death.
We didn't see a stables.
Elevor's going to do one Batavor's going to do one last thing. Because there are only two portcullis areas that are different from then he only needs to look at one. So he's going to try to look for a plaque or something on this bottom one. Again, while still being in the air, just to see
how narrow is the portcullis. Like how close together are those bars? Because if you're a bat, you could just land and
fly through. First, I'll check if there's a plaque on the outside. Sure. If there's not, then I'll consider that.
There does not seem to be a plaque on the outside. I think probably any plaques might be closer to the actual, you know, graves. I would say the portcullis is accommodates one small bat. You specified an adorable bat. I mean, that seems like
Ferngully bat.
Yeah. Do you want to poke your little bat head through the portcullis?
Yes.
I guess. Wait, is there? Can I do a vibe check?
Oh yeah, absolutely. Please do insight? A vibe check. It's not insight because it's not a person. You can roll wisdom or perception or something.
Let's do wisdom. Just a straight up wisdom roll. Elvor's not feeling very wise right now.
Don't you have an advantage on wisdom?
Is it checks or saving throws? Also for vibes. It works for vibes.
Okay, great.
I mean, a vibe check is a saving throw of a
23.
23. Batavor, I have news for you. The news is the vibes are bad.
good.
From where
like,
you're...
Worse? Because the vibes everywhere here are bad.
The vibes are real bad here. Okay. And they seem to be getting worse. From where you perch in your little bat form, you can see beyond the portcullis that there are black marble steps descending to a dark tomb. It looks like there's a big ceiling. And the essence of evil permeates the very air.
Okay.
It's probably not what we're looking for.
I can continue to read, but I feel like you're good. You're good.
No. Yeah. Elevor or Batavor flaps back.
You gonna do a vibe check on the north one?
No, I think, well, I, you know what? Real quick, let's try it.
All right.
You see him like he's down there and then you just suddenly see him just flashing back to the other side and we'll just do a quick vibe check.
Yep.
If we can, a 22.
All right. The vibes here are different. Looking beyond the portcullis, Batavor, you see that there are white marble steps, descending into a tomb. White. It feels still. There's something kind of calm here. Is it a soothing calm or simply the calm before the storm? Unclear.
Ooh.
But it is a different vibe than
wonder if that's the
place.
Brother.
Yeah. So Batavor flies back and then unbat and turns back into Elevor and he says, okay, so I did a little vibe check while we were looking around and I'm getting we should not go into the southern hall. It seems like in the same way that mom and dad are ahead of us, that brothers are sort of north and south. And, you know, south, down, not great. North, up, maybe good. We've got white marble stairs versus dark, scary, creepy stairs. I'm feeling like the brothers' resting place is to the north, which leads me to believe that that's where we're going to find our enemy.
But isn't the point that we're looking for the bad, evil guy?
Well, but I think we're finding
he's with
him
his brother,
with
isn't
his
he?
Brother.
Well,
right?
Is with his brother mean in the crypts, or does it mean like sleeping next to the guy? That's unclear.
We might as well talk to his brother, or at least see what's happening there.
North first, because if Strahd is there, then yay.
Then and I your oil, but, your sharpened oil.
Yeah, exactly. If Strahd's not there, then I mean, if we checked south first and Strahd was not there, we would just be walking into his terribly cursed and trapped pre-tomb area, and we don't.
It could hurt us,
and not actually.
It's worth ruling
anything.
Out.
Fair yes, yep. The brother.
All right.
Okay, I think we're going to the north.
So all right. Chomp, chomp, chomp.
I'll mention that Batavor did not bother reading all the names on crypts. If you'd like me to read names on crypts, simply put your token next to one of the doors to a crypt and I will read you text. That is a service I offer here as a dungeon master holding a book.
I really only care if it says Piddlewick, so...
Right. Yeah, I just want to go to the north, to be honest. Right.
I will tell you whether things say Piddlewick or not. Crucible drags his token across the whole map.
Zoom. I'm checking that one real quick as I go.
That one, do you want me to tell you what it says, or just that it's not Piddlewick?
Just that it's not Piddlewick.
It's not Piddlewick.
Okay.
What about these two? Are either of these a Piddlewick?
Lena, neither of those is a Piddlewick.
What about this one?
Oh, hey, guess what? The one right near where Basilica...
This one. Yes,
happens to be is it does happen to say Piddlewick hyphen Fool of Dorfrinya.
What was that?
It says hyphen Fool of Dorfnia.
Ah.
I don't know. It did not come with a pronunciation guide, so I apologize if that's not correct.
To whom?
Hey, Elibor.
Local Barovians.
Don't know if you care, like right now, if we want to just super quick take a peek at Piddlewick's grave. I could move this.
Oh, you found the tomb?
I could move this slab out of the way, toot sweet, and you could check it out.
Let's give it a go.
I'm going to just check for traps quick.
Yes.
That's a 16.
The crypt seems untrapped.
Do I need to do a strength check to scooch that out of the way?
You do. It's pretty heavy.
All right.
Someone want to help?
I can help. I'm the helper. That's what I do.
Thank you.
Advantage.
Lift
so
with
that
your
is...
knees.
Just like
16.
A
cheerleader. I think a 16 is not enough. These are heavy doors.
You want me to try?
Yeah, go for it. This time I'll help you.
Hold on. Let me just remind myself. Nope. 16 is enough. DC 15.
Oh.
Strength check to move the big, slow stone.
I rolled and got a 20, so.
All right. You wasted
loosened it.
just use it for the next thing and do something really good next time.
Inside, and you know, I don't know how you did pass by an open crypt marked for Irina Koliana. Each crypt is just like a little square room. And inside this one, there is a slab, and the slab for this crypt is probably shorter than normal. It's only 4 feet long. And there is a small skeleton wearing the remains of a fool's costume lying atop the marble slab in the center of the crypt.
I say a prayer under my breath. I do not enter. I look to Elivor and say, you are the one that was given permission for this. So I think that you should be the one to see what treasure Piddlewick bequeathed upon you.
Yeah, I think Elivor will say a small prayer to Angharad, and will use druidcraft to sort of let up a puff of juniper into the air to kind of cleanse the space. And then he walks in with his, because he's a very tall guy, he kind of walks in with a bit of a humble air to him. As he approaches the tomb area. And he, I guess I'll say out loud, Piddlewick, my friend, it was such a pleasure to meet you in the afterlife, and I hope that your soul will soon find rest. I thank you for any gift you might bestow upon me and my party, and I hope that it can help us to vanquish the great evil that has been here for far too long.
Everybody here is just like a really faint, like it's far away, just like jingling of bells. And then Elivor, was it there already, or did you just notice it, or did it just appear? But there's a small wooden box next to the skeleton on the slab.
I think he's going to reach out for the wooden box, not open it though. And he turns around and he sort of gives like a sort of look as he kind of holds it away from himself towards Lena. Like, Lena, can you please check this? And he hopes that Lena will check for traps.
It's got a very small revenant in it.
Tiny, tiny revenant.
Teeny, tiny revenant.
Little bat revenant.
We have to just keep squishing it with
I'll
our heel
you,
every
I'll
time.
Kill you.
The box has not exploded in your hands yet.
Okay. And
so
Lena,
you're going to bring it out to Lena?
Yeah, I hand it over to Lena.
All right, Jane, Elevore has handed Lena the small wooden box. It's small.
To check it for traps.
It's kind of flat. It's not very heavy. It's less than a pound. Yeah.
So she kind of turns it over in her hands, feels all of the seams to see if there are any mechanical traps or catches.
Nope, just a simple wooden lid.
Is it locked?
It's not. It doesn't even have a locking mechanism on it.
Okay, she hands it back and gives him a solemn nod.
This is box, classic box.
he undoes the latches, breathes, and then opens it up.
All right. It looks like inside the box is basically kind of like a deck of ornate cards. This is one of those things where you give a player a powerful object and you're like, will this be used for good or evil? This is different. This is not like that time.
I don't know what's happening right now, but everybody's reacting. So this is scary.
There are a few different card artifacts. Most of them are not good. Well, I mean, they're good, but they're also bad.
This one's not that.
In Elevore's hands.
Okay.
This is
chaotic. Let's put it that way.
I guess roll Arcana, Elevore, to determine what this is, because you have a sense that it must be magical. There must be magic in this old box.
Because everyone around you is cackling.
Yeah.
And going, yeah. Oh.
I only got a 10, so he's not getting a good whiff.
If you got
on
11
it.
Minutes, I can cast Identify as a ritual.
We don't have 11 minutes because we got to use that.
If you've got one minute, I can burn a spell slot and cast Identify as a spell.
I think this is worth it. Maybe somebody else
recognizes it.
Yeah,
I don't think any of you would recognize this from your just everyday life.
I'm just going to do it. I'm going to cast Identify.
All right.
Yeah.
Crucible, you wave your hands over it and you identify this. This is a wondrous item. This is a deck of illusions.
I've had one of those.
This is a unusual in that Crucible, you've read about that many people find incomplete decks of illusions. This appears to be a mint condition intact deck of illusions.
That does not happen.
Yeah. The way a deck of illusion works is that it's basically it corresponds to a physical deck of cards. It's a deck of parchment cards. You draw a card at random and each card will form a different illusory creature based on what is depicted on the card. So for example, if you've went through your deck of cards and pulled out the Ten of Hearts would be a cloud giant. The Ace of Spades would be a lich.
They're pretty wild. Some of them get really strange.
Nine of Clubs is an ogre. The Two of Clubs, but a simple kobold, and so on. It's an interesting object to have that will surely only be used for good and may not be in any way relevant to your upcoming struggle with Strahd von Zarovich. But I'm sure, just like when somebody got a bag of magic beans, it influenced adventures for levels to come.
Wow.
You ever played 52 Pickup with a deck of illusions? It's a real mess.
I think Dan may have been hesitating because in another game I gave him a deck of many things, which is a bad one. Yeah, it's a lot more of a chaos, instrument of chaos.
That's
and
very
badness.
Chaotic, yes.
Yeah. So deck of illusions, you know, good times for everybody.
Wow. It's a Pokedex.
All right.
Yeah. It is kind of a Pokedex. All right.
Cool.
Well, you happen
this
to
is
pass,
amazing.
You happen
Thanks,
to pass
Piddlewick.
By Piddlewick's grave. I don't know. If
it was
you wanna...
so worth it.
Yeah, no, it rules.
Maybe.
The like quest log line just grayed out.
Nice.
Yes, exactly.
We did it.
Sweet.
That Erica UI is always, you know, at work.
So I've got basically 34 instances of this.
Yeah.
Holy moly. This could be fun. Okay. Cool. Well, Elevore, now that why can't I think, now that Crucible has sort of informed him of what's going on, he is flabbergasted and beside himself. Even in his long years, has never heard of anything this awesome to him, especially. He's just like,
oh, this is so perfect.
You just, yeah, you see the glow and the glitter in his eyes. And he, you know, sort of, you don't hear what he says, but he whispers a small thing in the tomb, and then moves out of the tomb. And once again, the smell of juniper kind of fills the air as a way to continue to dispel the bad energy that might be around.
And also, we put the slab back.
Good.
Yep.
Maybe all these crypts have awesome things inside them. You should check them all.
Sure might.
After we're done, we will.
What did Elevore leave? Why did Elevore leave himself in his own tomb? Let's go investigate. Yeah.
Oh, golly.
I like how you only the tomb that you were invited to open, because
yes, otherwise
the twist is they're vampires, and Strahd von Zarovich is just a guy who lives in his house, and they keep harassing him.
Poor guy.
Sure.
All right, where to next, adventurers?
North,
through the stairs. Oh, wait.
There's a portcullis blocking the stairs.
Is there any obvious mechanism for raising it on this side?
There is not any obvious mechanism.
Is there any not obvious mechanism? 28.
Ding, ding, ding with a 28, surely.
Looking around, Lena, you feel confident that there must be an obvious mechanism on the other side of the portcullis. But the downside of portcullis is that they can be lifted by strong characters.
I'm going to give it a shot if someone wants to give me
a friend.
Hand.
I will help.
All right.
Heck yeah.
That is a hot 19.
Nice.
All right. Your servo is strained, and it moves a little bit and then clanks back down into place. It's a heavy portcullis.
Brolish, you want to get
it? I assume my strength
will our adventure end here if they can't get to 25 on a strength check? Let's find out right now on Total Party Kill.
What's your strength?
I can't. Mine's plus four.
Mine's plus
I can't
three.
Get to a 25.
I don't know how we're going to do that one. Let me see. Hold on 1 second.
Wild
a natural
20
would also work, right?
No, natural 20 only on a hit.
So how many more times can you wild shape? Because this is canonically small enough that a bat can get through.
And that's why I'm annoyed almost that I went back into Elevore form, because I only have one.
How many hit points do we think the portcullis has if I, say, decided to... like melt
just
it.
Start hacking at it.
Well, I was gonna melt it.
What if we all hack at it?
But I can use a heat metal spell
oh, sorry, you keep saying that. Sorry.
Yeah.
I imagine you just run your heat metal along the top and just cut like a hole in it.
Yeah, like can I do one of those things where like I flick a finger and my finger's like a torch?
Yes. Dan.
And we
you can lightsaber.
It's not lightsaber, it's just like a little acetylene torch. Like
okay.
Yeah. Nobody here has
the grate, so it doesn't clank or anything.
Yeah. Okay. Nobody has mage hand, so we can't just like reach through and do the thing, right? Just making sure.
But and that's only 5 pounds of pressure too.
I can make an illusory thing that serves no purpose other than to be cool.
Well, I'm burning through spell slots, but I can do it.
Unless Danu could go through and pull on it.
That is okay. Let me
Oshapai
check.
Can squeeze through small spaces. I think.
They can.
There's no reason they couldn't fit.
How far can he travel out of water?
As a fey,
speed of 30, I think.
I need to make sure that they can still do that.
Just,
let me see.
If he dries out in a catacomb, that is not a way to go.
So
can you
resummon? They can be out of water for 30 minutes. They can be out of water for 30 minutes. Mm-hmm. So actually,
I just don't want crucible burning spell slots that
I agree. You hear a squelching sound from Elevore's backpack, and you see a little purple tentacle kind of come out, and it almost like looks around as if it can see. And then Elevore goes, "Oh, right, Danu," and reaches back, and you just see the tentacle reach onto the arm and sort of squelch onto the arm. And then I know I'm making Danu sound gross instead of cool, but they're very cool. As Danu comes down onto Elevore's arm, onto the green, then the octopus shifts to this beautiful green color and looks like Elevore's clothing. And then he puts it on the ground and it turns into the stone. And as it's moving along, its colors are shifting as it squeezes its way through the portcullis and starts to look around for where the mechanism might be.
I mean, did Lena find it? Like, did she see it on the other side?
No, it's not visible, but just past the portcullis, there's a set of stairs. They're marble stairs descending down into a very quiet tomb. Just around the corner, there's an iron lever sticking out of the wall.
Okay.
Does Danu just take in the whole crypt?
Yes.
And Elevor can look through Danu's eyes, right?
Elevor can look through Danu's eyes.
Sure.
Yeah. Do you?
Yes, I do, because that sounds like a great way to end this episode.
All right. Well, you know, Danu kind of easily slides down the white marble steps that descend into this tomb. Like the others that you saw, it's got a huge vaulted ceiling 30 feet overhead. This tomb, the vibes, there is a stillness, a calm amidst the storm is felt here. In the center of the tomb is a white marble slab supporting an intricately inlaid coffin. Chiseled into the slab is a name, Sergei von Zarovich. To the north, behind the coffin are three alcoves. A beautifully carved statue stands in each alcove, a stunning young man flanked by two angels. So, two angel statues, one young man, looking as polished and new as the day each was placed there. And kneeling next to the coffin, looking perhaps full of grief, is Strahd von Zarovich, Lord of Castle Ravenloft, who has not yet noticed the quiet little octopus squirming down the stairs.
It's a mimic octopus.
You all hear Elevor gasp. you all in the group hear Elevor gasp as Danu's eyes lock with, or not lock with Strahd, but see Strahd, because Strahd's eyes don't.
Strahd's looking down. He seems to be kind of kneeling deep in thought, looking at the coffin of his entombed brother, Sergei von Zarovich. Will our adventurers make their way into the tomb and fight Strahd von Zarovich? Will Strahd eat Danu before they have a chance? No! Will they have to do more strength checks to never open this portcullis? Are we at the end or just the beginning of the end? For answers to questions such as these, tune in next time to Total Party Kill.
Incomparable Podcast Network. Become a member and support this show today. TheIncomparable.com/members.